set up the last hour for you. I am Jim Rome. Great to be here. Getaway day. Well, I'm not going anywhere, but it's getaway day. Where's the crew going? Ike already hit me last night with, hey, brother, if it's all right, I'm going to leave right after the show. I got to get on a plane. I'm like, that's fine. That's fine, Pops. Who knows how many more plane rides you'll be able to take. Go for it, Ike. James Kelly's not here, so he must be going somewhere. Javi, how about you? The Valley. 818. 818 for life, baby. Hawk, you making a 206 run? Alhambra.
818 for life.
All right, so part of the crew is staying in town. I am staying in town. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Are you traveling on Thanksgiving? Where are you headed? What's going on? What's the plan? Where are you going to watch football? What are you going to do? Hit me up. I'm here for it. We already had Bruce Smith, who was tremendous. That was back in hour number one. Keaton Slovis is coming up next segment. As I mentioned, speaking of the aforementioned flight deck, James Kelly has been on this guy hard. Since the second he got in, he's been like, I'm telling you, boss, Slovis, he's the kid, he's the one, he's going to be number one. Deontay Wilder, the bomb squad. Damn, look at Scott Pippen. What an amazing look, look at him. Just checking him out on TV, incredible. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so by now you know what happened on Sunday with the Steelers. Mason Rudolph chased a 4-interception game against the Browns with a 17 QBR disaster against the Bengals. Only this time, Mike Tomlin was not about to let Rudolph finish off his version of the football Razzie. Yanked him in the second half and threw in a surprise stick of dynamite named Duck Hodges, who not only saved that game, he may have saved the most duct tape season of any NFL team in 2019. That was Sunday. And all that we needed to hear from Mike Tomlin was who was going to get the start this week. He made the call. Duck in, Rudolph out. So when Tomlin was asked about that call and what he liked about Duck Hodges, the head coach finally made good, finally delivered on the straight fire that he promised us way back in 2013 when he showed up on Twitter.
What have you seen from Hodges that has allowed you to feel that he should be the start individually, independent of Mason? What about him?
He has not killed us.
Is there a higher ceiling than him not killing us that he could get to, do you think?
You know, there's not enough plays on his resume to paint with a broad brush in the ways that you suggest. There's going to be enough pressure on Devlin just performing. So I'm not going to add to it by talking expectations. I expect him to not kill us.
That was so good. He not only said it, he doubled back and emphasized it. What do you like about him? Why did you make that decision, and what's his best attribute? He has not killed us.
He has not killed us.
Finally. Saying that Duck Hodges has not killed us is the sort of fire that we've been waiting on from Tomlin for years. Like, what do I like about Duck? It's pretty apparent, isn't it? Dude hasn't killed us. Like the guy we had before him, under center. You know, that guy that Myles Garrett could have killed when he ripped his helmet off his head and tried to beat him senseless with it. Then again, saying that Mason Rudolph kills the Steelers really is not straight fire. That's a straight fact. With their season hanging in the balance, he had been killing them. 5 picks and a fumble in his last 2 games, and he could not move the chains against one of the worst teams ever, Cincinnati. Mike Tomlin was not about to let the other 52 guys in that locker room see a potential playoff berth slip away because one dude was single-handedly killing that team. The only thing crazier than Tomlin finally getting loose after all these years, after promising you would, is the fact that the Steelers are 6-5 and still actually control their playoff destiny. A team without Big Ben, a team without Le'Veon Bell, a team without Antonio Brown. I mean, that's enough to kill any squad before Mason got around to trying to do it all by himself. Then you throw in James Conner, missing three of the last four games with that busted wing. Juju Smith-Schuster, questionable for Sunday's game against the Browns because of a bad knee. Good thing that they're killing it on D. I mean, it might not be the best thing long-term, but making that deal for Minkah Fitzpatrick is an amazing thing right now. All that sets up that showdown in the Berg with the Browns. And here comes Cleveland on a little three-game heater rolling into the Steel City on Sunday. Remember, the last time these two teams met, helmets were ripped off and weaponized. Players were suspended. $500,000 in fines were handed down. And 2 weeks later, they're going to line it up and run it back with the hate dialed to infinity. The stakes are even higher. If Cleveland wins, they square up at 500. They keep their playoff hopes alive. If the Steelers rip the dub, they remain in control of that final wildcard spot down the stretch. I mean, neither of them are going to run down the Ravens. The Bills are two games out in front with that sixth seed, so this is big. Really big for both teams. Duck Hodges is about to play the biggest game of his life. And if you're a Browns fan, here's hoping that Baker Mayfield wakes up feeling dangerous because, well, not dead can't quit. And the Browns are still alive. It doesn't matter what you say about them, what you think about them, what you say about their schedule. They're still very much alive. They could backdoor this thing. And one of the reasons they are still alive is because Baker has stepped up. Now, all they have to do is make sure that they eliminate all the stupid penalties, play with some composure, and some more discipline. Do that, and they're fine. Meaningful December AFC North ball, even though the Ravens are running away with the division. So you've got the winners of three straight against the winners of five of their past six. C-Town v. Steel City, Duck v. Baker, Cleveland v. Pittsburgh 2, and Tomlin finally spitting the straight fire that he promised us years ago. Man, let's get it. Who you got?
He has not killed us.
It's got to be a tough call there, Coach. Why do you like Duck? The season is on the line. You're looking at a playoff berth. You're going to go with Duck. Why do you like Duck? He has not killed us.
He has not killed us.
Finally, some straight fire. I mean, damn, Mike, we named a horse after you. We had a horse named Straight Fire. And he won by 10 lengths at Del Mar. He was Straight Fire. So he promised us Straight Fire on Twitter and gave us nothing. Until then. I mean, he could have gone with what every other coach would say. You know, we were looking for a spark. We were looking for someone to take care of the ball. He has not killed us. Mason Rudolph is killing us. Man, Mason, I said he had a bad 10 days. He's had a bad 11 days. I don't know what else there is now. Can't get any worse. We are open with the phones. Let's go to Wisconsin. I got some pictures today from Wisconsin. Man, it looks cold. There is a lot of snow in Wisco. Let's go to Cliff. What's going on, Cliff? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Romy. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
It is cold in Wisconsin, and I tell you what, in Pittsburgh, it is going to be a bloody bath on Sunday. I think that serving up the duck for Thanksgiving is a bad move, but I tell you what, there may be more action in the stands than on the field, because there's going to be some angry fans from both sides, and they may be cleaning up some blood with some of those terrible towels. Happy Thanksgiving. This is Cliff. I'm out.
This is Jim. I'm still here. All right, Cliff. You got like a guy who's resetting who he is at the end of the call. He said, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen on the field, but I can tell you right now there's going to be some blood spilled in the stands. Probably. It's Pittsburgh and Cleveland. It's cold. They don't like each other. The last time these two teams met, and it was only 2 weeks ago, one guy ripped another guy's helmet off his head and bashed him with it. And they're playing for the postseason, and there probably is going to be some adult beverages flowing. Yeah, I think there might be a few fights. But that's not a Cleveland-Pittsburgh thing. There's always fights in the stands. It's a fight. If you don't like it, turn your TV off. And by the way, this is Cliff in Wisconsin signing out. Back to you, Vance Mack. I like the way you kick it back at me.
You have a problem, turn off your station.
It's a fight. It's a fight. You got a problem? Turn off your station.
So whatever happens, happens.
Reporting from Wisconsin, I'm Cliff. Back to you, Vance Mack.
It's a fight.
1-800-636-8686. Who do you like in that game? Let's go to Savannah. Mark, good to have you. Mark, how are you?
Good, Jim. How are you, sir?
Great. Super.
I just want to remind or make the jungle aware of who the Steelers are. Let's rewind to week 5, Steelers against the Ravens. Steelers got to him 5 times, intercepted him 3, and after Mason got knocked out, Duck led them to overtime, where an unfortunate fumble cost the Steelers the game. But if they can go toe-to-toe with arguably one of the best teams in the NFL, they can handle those classless criminals in Cleveland this weekend.
Rack him. Nice job, Mark. Oh, they absolutely can handle them. Absolutely, they can win that game. The Steelers are doing it old school. They are getting after the quarterback. They're making plays defensively. They're turning you over. Oh, there's no doubt they can win that game. And I do trust Duck more than I trust Mason Rudolph at this point. That's absolutely a winnable game. Adam D. tweets, why can't Matt in L.A. be more like Anthony Kim and disappear for long periods of time? Jamie in Green Bay, quote, I missed it. Did Matt get broken off before he got to that standard Belly Clarkson line? Yes, he did. He was not able to get his Belly Clarkson line in. I ran him. The hammer came down. Jacob in NorCal tweets, two things I'll never understand. Quantum mechanics and that last Matt in L.A. phone call. I usually do not run Matt. I ran him today because he was not having a good day. He was out of sorts. I don't know if he didn't expect me to come to him. And he should. He calls every day. How can you not be ready? Snaglio. From Ethiopia to London. You're welcome. Outro. He didn't get to Belly Clarkson. He did not get to Outro. He didn't get to DA. None of that. Keaton Slovis is coming up. You're running out of time. Deontay Wilder, the WBC heavyweight champion of the world, is coming up. Alvin, exactly where are we going to put your 3 days that were? We got to find a place for that. I've got a best of Thursday, and then I've got Brian Weber coming in on Friday. And Hawk running into the studio right now, running up on me. There's Matt in L.A. Matt in L.A. on Twitter. Happy Thanksgiving. Today, I'll give it to you. Easily my worst call of the year. Rest assured, I'll be back. Wore Mike Golick's kid, finding a shirt that fits someday. Yeah, Matt, we got that part of the call. You don't need to reset that. And don't give me credit for pointing out that that was your worst call in quite some time. I know that already. Matt, it's all right, brother. Everybody has a bad day. Everybody has a bad call. Not a problem. You're welcome, Matt. Have a great Thanksgiving. Talk to you Monday, Matt. Unless you call Brian Weber on Friday. Which I'm sure you will. Keaton Slovis joins me when we come back. Josh in Detroit will call the best of tomorrow. Vance Mack, is that you? You're more than welcome to call the best of. Just know nobody's picking up. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need some energy?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, the heavyweight champion of the world. Deontay Wilder is coming up next segment. However, we're joined right now by a quarterback for USC. He had a school record, 515 passing yards and 4 touchdowns in Saturday's win over UCLA. He set the school's single-season freshman yard passing record. More than 3,200 passing yards, 28 touchdowns on the year. USC is 8-4. They're 7-2 in conference. They are number 22 in the college football playoff rankings. We are joined by quarterback Keaton Slovis. Keaton, good to have you on. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. So take me back to Saturday. You beat UCLA 52-35. What does the rivalry mean to you, and how important was it to take care of business the way you did and close out the regular season with that win?
Yeah, no, it was a big game for us. Obviously, we looked forward to it, throughout the year. And when we finally got to it, we were really excited. And, I'm really happy we walked away with the win.
All right, so in that game, you had four receivers with 100-yard games. I would imagine in getting ready for that game, you knew you'd have some opportunities. Did you ever think, though, on a day like that, you'd have four different guys go for 100 yards or more?
No, not really. I mean, those guys are, the guys around me are real special. That's the thing. These guys at any point can all have a big game, and I guess it just happened that they all happen to have a big game on the same day. So I was really excited that we got to get them all involved on the same game, especially a big one like UCLA.
Hey, listen, I grew up in Los Angeles. I've been watching those games for years. I've never seen anything like that. Keaton Slovis is my guest. I didn't want to start off by asking you about that record because I know that you don't want to make it about you, but I've got to ask anyway. There have been so many amazing quarterbacks who've gone to USC, so what's it mean to you to know that your name is on top of the list for most passing yards in a single game? I mean, does that feel real to you at this point?
I guess it's still a little surreal. I haven't really had time to process it because I didn't know I broke the record until someone in the huddle said, like, congrats. I didn't really know what they were talking about because I didn't realize where the record was or I had any idea where it was at. But, again, you look at that list and they're all guys I grew up watching play quarterback at USC. So, to be on the top of that list is really special. But, again, I definitely wouldn't be there without the help of my teammates and those four receivers that had 100 yards themselves.
The story about how you got to USC is really amazing. We'll get to that in a minute. And you've already mentioned a couple of times how good the talent is around you. When you've got four guys who go for 100 yards or more, obviously you've got some great, great talent. Let me ask you about Michael Pittman Jr. He's a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award. What makes him so unique, so special as a wide receiver?
I think just his playmaking ability. And, Pitt's just a guy. He's so ultra-competitive. He works so hard, but he's just a guy that, he wants the ball in that one-on-one situation. He wants you to put it up there for him. And, when I do, he goes up and gets it. So having a guy like that on the outside, just makes my job a lot easier. And not to mention how good of a leader he is and what a great teammate he is. He's really the whole package.
Now, at the same time, he's tough now. He's tough, and he'll let you know it. For example, earlier this season, he talked about the first time he saw you at practice. Keaton, the way he laid this out, he said, quote, "I'd say that he's kind of a goofy-looking, skinny kid. Then he comes out, and he's got one of the biggest arms I've ever seen. He's kind of like a shocker, I guess, but he's bigger now. He's been in the weight program, so he's built up a little." So what's your reaction when he calls you goofy-looking and skinny, and then what's he like to play with?
No, it doesn't really surprise me. Mike's a pretty funny guy. I think he's going a little low blow there, but that doesn't surprise me either. I was a pretty small kid coming into the program. I remember feeling much smaller than everyone else. But obviously this summer I've kind of prided myself on getting to a decent size, and hopefully this off season and throughout the bowl season I'll be able to get bigger too.
Keaton Slovis has earned it. He's joining us right now. I think a lot of people are familiar with your story, but there's a legend that back when you were a freshman in high school, you and your dad, Max, sat down and talked about your future and talked about what you wanted to do. At that point, the goal was to play college football and to start on Saturdays, but you didn't start your first two seasons in high school and you didn't go to a ton of recruiting events. What was your process at that point like?
A lot of guys around me in the state, or I guess in Scottsdale, really, we're getting a lot of attention. Spencer Rattler was, I think, one of the number one or number two guys in the country. And, he was already playing as a freshman. So there's a lot of noise and hype around me. But, and obviously that kind of fueled me a little bit because I thought I was just as good as any of them. But, my dad and I kind of sat down and made that goal. And, I really credit him for keeping my head down and, making me stay the course and believe in my dream because, it did work out for me, even though I didn't start till I was a junior in high school.
And that's what happened. As a junior, you take over as starter at Desert Mountain, but the story goes that you still weren't getting a huge amount of attention, despite the fact that you were putting up big numbers. And then you've got Brian Ellis, who's involved in recruiting at USC. He puts on your highlights and said, quote, "Good God, who is this kid?" End of quote. What was it like when you received the offer from USC, and what was it about the opportunity that made you want to commit there?
Yeah, no, it was surreal. You know, again, as a kid that, you know, didn't play until his junior year, I didn't think I'd have an opportunity to go to, you know, Blue Blood program, one that I love so much, like USC. So when USC offered me, you know, I kind of wanted to jump on ship as soon as possible and, you know, seize that opportunity. And obviously there are a lot of doubters and naysayers when I did that, but you know, I'm just glad I got my opinion this year.
Keen, what about that? I mean, there were doubters and naysayers, and there's so much talent at USC. It might be the sort of thing where it might have scared some other guys off. In fact, I know it did, but you showed up, you went to work, you battled for that job. How did you go about approaching that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, you know, going to the QB competition is you can't get caught up in the guys around you. Obviously, they're your teammates, and you know you're competing for a job, but, you know, I think you just need to focus on yourself and play your best because, you know, when you get caught up on how the other quarterbacks are doing or how they're playing, you know, then you're not playing your best. So that's kind of the way I went about it. And, you know, I just went and competed and did my best. And obviously I didn't win the job, but, you know, getting that number two spot, I think that was definitely attributed to that.
Keaton Slovis is my guest. Then the season opener, JT Daniels goes down with the injury. You come in. That's never the way you want to get on the field. And it's the kind of situation where the moment would be too big for a lot of people, especially following somebody like that. It didn't seem like that to you. Were you feeling pressure in that moment, or was that just another football game to you?
Honestly, no, not really. I remember telling someone I was much more nervous going into my first high school game than that game.
Wow.
But I think that was just a testament to, you know, the confidence I built over the summer and spring in that program. And, you know, I think that's really, you know, just the confidence that the coaching staff had in me and, you know, putting me in that number two spot in general where they could have put an older, more experienced guy ahead of me. I think that gave me a lot of confidence.
You know, Graham Harrell talks about how quickly you picked up that offense. What's it been like working with him, and how much have you grown as a quarterback in that time that you've had together?
Yeah, no, he's awesome. I can't say enough good things about Coach Harrell. I love playing the system, and, you know, he makes it real easy for you. And I think it helps that he was a player too, so he kind of can understand, you know, where you're coming from, especially in this offense. So, you know, he's a great guy to work for, and I love playing for him.
As I mentioned before I let you go, I have the heavyweight world champion Deontay Wilder coming up next segment, but Harrell likes to hand out a title belt and then give a Twitter shout-out to the winner. Back on November 2nd, he tweeted in part, quote, "Breaking news, by some miracle, Keaton Slovis has claimed his first title belt of the year," end quote. And by that point, you had been killing it. You had been putting up numbers on the field. So what's involved in winning the belt, and how good did it feel to finally get that thing?
Yeah, no, it felt great. So every, I guess, Thursday, we kind of have one of our lighter practices. But as the quarterbacks go and do their quarterback competition, which consists of, I think we have to, like, hit a cone off a trash can. We have to throw a ball, like, fade balls in a net and a bunch of stuff like that. But you have to hit the crossbar. I think that's another act. But there's a bunch of stuff we have to do. But at the end of the day, whoever has the most points takes home the belt. And I've been on a roll the past few weeks.
Yeah, you have, and you finally got what you had coming to you. So finally, let me ask you, outside the program, there's been a lot of talk about Clay Helton and his future. What's it been like for you as players to hear that, and what's he like to play for?
Yeah, no, I love playing for Coach Helton. Obviously, I had a great I'm just so thankful they gave me an opportunity. You know, he really wasn't in it. And it's not easy for a coach in his situation to give a three-star, you know, an opportunity to go to your school. But, again, you know, there's a lot of noise that's always surrounding our program, and especially being in LA, that's going to happen. So, you know, I think regardless of what it is, we always try to keep our minds and our focus inside of the building and not focus on the outside noise.
You see, a quick follow to that, and I'll let you go, but that's true, especially at that program in this town. There's going to be that noise no matter what. But despite the distractions, you guys have all stuck together. What's it say then about the players in that locker room that you finished up the regular season by winning three straight and 5 of your last 6 despite all that noise?
Yeah, no, I think it just shows the mental toughness that our guys have, and, you know, credit to our captains. They did a great job. You know, a guy like Michael Pittman is someone who really bears a lot of that responsibility for keeping us focused and, you know, allowing us to win and have a good second half of the season.
He passed for a school record, 515 yards, 4 touchdowns in that big win over UCLA. Keaton Slovis, my guest. Keaton, great job. Great to have you on. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Great to talk to you, and for the record, again, that is James Kelly's favorite college player.
That's right.
Nobody likes Slovis more than the big head. This kid's good, though, man. He's brass. He's composed. He's fearless. As a young player, especially, the way he works through his progressions, I'd say true freshman we're discussing. And I love the way he showed up today and on the field. When we return, the heavyweight champion of the world is going to finish this thing. Or Alvin is going to finish it with the 3 days that were. Or both. That's coming up next. My thanks to Keaton Slovis. We had Bruce Smith on earlier. Time now for a sports update. Here is the very latest. Jay Berman has got this one. The Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We are efforting the WBC heavyweight champion of the world, Deontay Wilder. In the meantime, I think I want to start the 3 days that were, because they were amazing, Alvin. Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. What's up? How was your weekend? We got ourselves a short week. Let's make this one count.
Make it count.
Touchdown, Dennis Kelly. And it's a big man TD.
Chug it down, big man. And the only thing better than a big man TD is another big man TD.
Touchdown, Vita Vea.
Let the big dogs eat. I mean, how smooth is that big man?
Kittle on a diagonal to the 10. Inside the 5. Touchdown.
If my ankle is bark, it's flaking off, or I've got a pop capsule, man, I'm lying down and taking a long nap.
Welcome back, George Kittle.
Kittle's that kind of monster. And the 49ers are, too.
To learn that playbook.
Email.
Can we interrupt your open to discuss Gronk's latest appearance on TV? I think his Sports Clips haircut and his turtleneck is a good look. Signed, Tim Duncan's designer threads.
Yo soy fiesta.
And thanks to John in New York for scoping every minute of it. Although following Hawk into the bathroom and Elvie into the bedroom might have been a little over the top. There's this thing called personal space, Luther.
Frank Gore, he is the third all-time...
I just ran right by Barry Sanders. The guy's a Hall of Fame lock. So keep this guy's name out your mouth if you can't put respect
keep
on
him. Keep my name out your mouth.
It's a bad take.
For those people that are turning a blind eye to him, they should just turn around and watch a different sport.
Gabe Kapler.
Put in a box of old school or new school, analytic or gut feel. I just don't think it has to be one or the other. I just want you to know that I don't identify as any one thing.
You know, make it a four-point game if they go ahead and kick
it. And I'm sure you guys really appreciated the confidence you showed in them on 4th and 7. I doubt that guy was not going to go for it. Did anybody anywhere think he was going for it?
Just felt good about that decision at that time.
There may come a time when Jones actually does something about his favorite ginger. I'll believe it when I see it. Charles Davis back for more.
I think that probably stuck in Jerry's craw a little bit yesterday to watch his team lose another one.
I shouldn't be this frustrated.
And again, New England, for the last couple of weeks, they're for the taking.
Janet texted.
Excellent.
Poor Adam. You're brutal on him.
She's so sweet. She's so nice.
Ike's like, why didn't she take up for me?
There was an advertisement from Ross Dress for Less that are selling electric guitars on Black Friday.
I honestly really didn't understand any part of that call.
Touchdown!
Even the final score, 45-6, does not capture the complete and total humiliation that Lamar Jackson just inflicted on the L.A. Rams.
LJ, MVP.
Lamar Jackson, MVP.
He's an MVP for a reason.
Is this the beef jerky segment?
It's so hard to watch the Bengals every Sunday.
If I were the Buffalo Bills, I would honestly not play a lot of the starters.
Or even the dog crap everywhere.
People who abuse GoFundMe. You want to do a backflip off the rooftop onto a fiery glass table. I'm sorry you survived.
Herm Edwards is joining us.
Well, I've never been involved in the fan storming, obviously. And one time when we won the championship game in Philadelphia, it got close to that. But, you know, those Philadelphia policemen are pretty tough.
I'm alone and I'm old, but
guess what?
I'm tough. I took that table.
Old woman strength. She beat the living hell out of this dude. Who the hell needs a gun? You've got two of them dangling from your 82-year-old shoulders. Will Healy is my guest. Was there a hotter, more electric club in the country than Club Lit?
Absolutely not. The price tag on Club Lit right now is rising by the minute. Lots of people waiting at the door.
Day of reckoning will come.
This is not about how he looks. This is not about how he sounds. The real story here is he murdered 40 pizzas in 30 days.
40 pizzas in 30 days.
And apparently he did so to test it for quality. And he said that it's not good.
Not good.
Mike Hopkins.
Having a guy like Larry Brown come in
Larry
and watch
Brown,
over
Larry
your
Brown,
practices
Larry
and
Brown,
tell
Larry
you what he's saying is just
Brown,
incredible.
There's a carpet and there's a cat. And the cat crapped on the carpet, and it wrecked my carpet. There's no way that was Cody the Ragdoll cat. That had to have been Sapphire.
Sapphire.
You have a big dump in your
carpet. Bruce Smith, how do you get your jersey retired before us? You weren't even the best player on that team. He thought that was hilarious. He loved that, Bruce.
Oh, man, I got to tell you. We get together
We just think outside of the box.
It's like holding two handfuls of Jell-O.
Don't carry the Jell-O with both hands. It's disgusting. Who's going to want to eat that Jell-O after you've had your hands all over it, Gerald?
It's disgusting.
From the time that Tina Yothers was shofodder.
Not only radio pros, we're radio Hall of Famers. We know the clock. We can hit our posts. Unfortunately, some people ran long. She ran really long, and they cut her money. Imagine she got the cat at her table instead. Not only would she have gotten stiff, but Hank Haney would have had to pay for his own lunch. And the Seals, too.
He has not killed us.
This is Clint.
A little low blow there. Go Broncos.
I get it next time.
What if there isn't a next time? You do know you play for the Redskins, right?
Same to you and yours, Jim.
You ever been on a boat that's sinking?
Get well soon, fat boy!
What the heck is that?
Whoa!
Take out the trash.
Stay tuned.
You have a happy Thanksgiving as well, okay?
Happy Thanksgiving, too.
You are a beast, Jim Rome. Good night now!
The 3 days that were. Man, we crammed a lot of show in this week. And I now have an open window because the heavyweight champ, Deontay Wilder, had to reschedule. It's an opportunity. Go right to the front of the line, 1-800-636-8686. Get right to the front of the line. No waiting, if you're good enough. Quickly, to double back to the ATP. Hey, Romy, you mentioned that you don't like yams. So I would like to know, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side? Is it green bean casserole? Will cranberries be on your plate? Reaction! Enjoy the food coma. Thankful for you and the XR4TI, Nikki, the lady clone. Thankful for you, Nikki. All right, so what is my favorite side?
Lady clone.
Is it the green bean casserole? Will cranberries be on my plate? Just a little bit, not much, not a big cranberry guy. My favorite Thanksgiving side is vodka. Come on. How about where y'all live? What's it like? Where are you going to go? Are you going away for the holiday? Are you hosting? 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Little Rock, Arkansas. John in Little Rock.
Hey, John.
Hey, John. What's going on?
Happy Thanksgiving to all. You know I want the turkey, so don't jerk me. Want extra pieces, and I know I'm worthy. Look at the cornbread, and I love it. Right in my pie hole, I'm going to shove it. Look at the cabbage! I'm a savage! I'm running out there, and I've got to have it! So fill the crack, some Pepper Jack! I'm gonna eat it, and it's not me back! Smack my lips! Boom, boom, boom. Can I have some of the gift? Smack my lips!
That's not a good call. No.
Damn, Alvin.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
I don't know you've ever given him that much run. Alvin is always, when it comes to John, like, dude, let's just wait for the chorus. Yeah, but he's not getting to the chorus. Dude, just chill out. Let's wait for the chorus. He started really good today. He's earned the right to get to the chorus. Yeah, but he's not getting to the chorus, Alvin. Dude, stop it. Let him get to the chorus. All right, Alvin, your world, your show. Stop, Alvin. See, he's had his moments. I'm always waiting for that. I'm always hoping that John can play back to that. But it's never been as good as that. So when a lot of you say, why do you let that guy on? Why do you let that guy do that? That's why. I've always got that in the back of my head, him doing Eddie Money. I've always got that in the back of my head that he can play back to that, that he can work his way back to that.
Oh,
Odin's on the pipe.
Well, that one too. Odin's on the pipe.
Staying up all night, don't turn around. Cause Strowman's back in town. And when Geno's hit the ground, you should have heard the cracking sound.
See? John's greatest hits. This is why I put up with so much nonsense and so much of his garbage. Because he does have a catalog. He's got five or six all-time greats. And I keep hoping I'm going to add to that list. Have you noticed the best stuff, though, Alvin, is when you build it back up. When you produce it up. All right, I gave it a shot. John in Little Rock, Arkansas. Anybody else want to take their shot? Hope you have a great holiday weekend. We had Keaton Slovis. We had Bruce Smith. I've got the Jim Rohn podcast. We're not done yet. I'm going to lay down that podcast after the show. Holly Robinson Pete, as I mentioned, she is a force of nature. She and her family are everywhere. Normally, we run Holly down at the Super Bowl. I didn't want to wait that long. In fact, she needs more run than I can afford her at the Super Bowl. She needs a podcast. She's a thoroughbred. She's got to run now. She needs space. So we will have that space.
Room, saw, you know, Brian Mitchell, Michael Irvin, some old guys we used to, you know, play with, and all good looking guys, but I was looking for the best looking man on Radio Row.
And
I found him. Jim Rome, you are so hot. That's all I'm saying. That's okay. Rodney knows I have like the full-on crush.
I was feeling so good about me when she said that. And then she met Hawk, and she was sweet-talking Hawk. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If she's saying that about him, I know she doesn't mean it. But then if she doesn't mean that about him, she probably doesn't mean it about me, right?
The kitty cat on the forearm, that's hot.
The kitty cat on the forearm, that's hot. Holly Robinson Pete said that about Hawk. Anyway, Holly's so awesome. Holly's had an amazing career. Holly was in one of the greatest TV shows ever, 21 Jump Street. So we will hit on that. She still has shows, plural. And now we're out of time. The huge call today, brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care. Your hair is different from your wife or your girlfriend's. Dove Men Plus Care has products which fortify men's hair and keep it strong and healthy. Dove Men Plus Care for stronger, more resilient hair. It is available at Walmart. Hope you have an amazing holiday weekend. I've got a best of for you tomorrow. We've got Brian Weber in on Friday. I'm back on Monday. Be tweeting at you over the weekend. So many good football games. My thanks to the Hall of Famer, Bruce Smith, Keaton Slovis, who kept up the streak of USC Trojans who show up and do great interviews. The XR4TI, I'm thankful for you all. Great job, crew. Happy Thanksgiving, clones. Hope everybody has a very healthy, happy Thanksgiving. Thankful for all you clones, too. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.